Does the female form make you uncomfortable, Mr. Lebowski?
Is that what this is a picture of?
In a sense, yes. My art has been commended as being strongly vaginal, which bothers some men. The word itself makes some men uncomfortable. Vagina.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, they don't like hearing it and find it difficult to say, whereas without batting an eye, a man will refer to his dick or his rod or his Johnson. Now, do you like sex, Mr. Lebowski? Sex, the physical act of love, coitus. Do you like it?
Excuse me?
You're not interested in sex?
You mean coitus?
I like it, too. It's a male myth about feminists that we hate sex. It can be a natural, zesty enterprise. However, there are some people, it is called satyriasis in men, nymphomania in women, who engage in it compulsively and without joy.
Oh, no.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Friday, June 10th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel. Your daily report is the wall. Counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening this very day, you are yourself as well. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal currently by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Once you are there, you will be able to read all my mad scribblings as well as keep track of the day-to-day things in my life, you little stalker, you. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio Network, the Wild Bunch Media, or pardon me, Wild Bunch, let me try that again. You can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and wait for it, a new way to spread the virus has just come in. We got Extreme Radio Tampa has signed up with us now. So now we got Extreme Radio Tampa broadcasting the virus to all those gun-toting psychos down there in Tampa Bay, Florida. I'm imagining. I don't actually know if it is Tampa Bay, Florida, but I'm going to hope it is. Because you know what? Florida needs Newsreel. Everybody needs Newsreel. It's your source for independent media. So, that said, you're free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can do anything you like with it. You can hand it out to people. You can go down and give it to the tourists who go to Florida. Go to Disneyland. Give it to Mickey. He needs to see it. The rat needs to realize that there are people who are not going to take his Mickey Mouse ear crap anymore. I'm here to tell you. I have got a feedback glut today to get to. Oh, my God. I've ever got a ton of feedback for you. So let's get right into it. Dear Sean, I got Scientologists kicked off my campus. Now, when I get emails like this, it kind of freaks me out because I'm worried about kids getting themselves on some serious shit. But anyway, let me get through this here. I was walking to one of my finals today when off to my left, I noticed an older man and a young woman on the sidewalk sitting at a card table. This looked innocent enough at first, but a little out of the place as my college is so small, you don't usually see this type of thing. As I walk up, I zero in on the word Scientology on the flyer. Oh, great, I think. Hi. Would you like to take our free personality test? The girl says, a little alarmed. I made some kind of noise and said no. I know much of the campus police staff and made a detour that way. I explained what I saw to an officer on campus. Are these people cleared to be here, I asked. He said he didn't know anything about it, or Scientologists for that matter. I got him onto Xenu.net and quickly explained what I knew about them. He said he didn't know anything about Scientologists for that matter. But nevertheless, he went in there and he decided to ask them to leave. So at a safe distance, I watched one of my buddies at campus security ask them to leave. They left with only a little argument and a pretty scary comment. The older guy sitting beside the woman told us angrily, I will be reporting this problem to my higher-ups. It was a little late for my test, but it was worth it. Hey, what better way to close out the school year by helping rid my campus of Scientologists? I'm choosing to stay anonymous to protect my school and myself. Just thought you'd get a kick out of the story, Sean. Yes, I do get a kick out of the story, and you got rid of them the best way you could. However, what's more important there is rather than leading that story off with I got Scientologists kicked off my campus, you should say is I educated campus security staff against Scientologists, because that is immunization against the ignorant virus that Scientology spreads to people. Yes, it's not like I'm saying, no, no, they should be Christian, they should be Islamic, they should be, you know, whatever, they should be, you know, going to the Macy's parade. I don't really care what they do. I just don't think that people need to have the corrupted virus of any religion in their head. Personally now, I think that a faith is something you have when you have a theory that you suspect to be true. But if you don't suspect that your theory is true and you don't look at evidence supporting that, then what the fuck is the point? You know what I mean? You're just deluding yourself. And quite honestly, we all know that Scientology was created for the sole purpose of making money and exploiting followers. That is the only reason why it was made. That's from L. Ron Hubbard's mouth. Okay, the guy said that himself. So, you know, you might want to think about what you're going to be getting involved with before you let some crazy son of a bitch have root on your mind. Another piece of feedback here. Dear Sean, meat bleeds from the fucking ears. Now, this is in reference to when I mentioned the other day on the show that I thought a lot of assault weapons were used in crime. Sorry, this is what Fat Ninja says here in his letter. Ideas like that drives those of us that are hardcore gun guys crazy. Ooh, that kind of hurt because I kind of think of myself as a hardcore gun guy. Actually, long arms as a whole make up less than 5% of the firearms used in crimes. And assault rifles make up a tiny fraction of that number. For what I've read in the past, the most common fires confiscated are small caliber pistols, 22, 25s, and 38s. And that's from Fat Ninja. So, when I said the other day that assault weapons were used in crime, no. I was, in fact, once again, wrong. Happens a lot. You'll get used to it. But at least I try to keep up with the retractions and everything. I can't do all my retractions because, hell, the show would be the Sean Kennedy Newsreel Retraction Show. Maybe I should do that every Friday. Once a week, I'll just do a show dedicated to everywhere I fuck up. Why not? What the hell? Dear Sean Kennedy, ooh, it's bad when they give you your first and last name. In yesterday's show, oh man, you talked about the sound weapon used against protesters by Israeli shoots. By Israeli shoots? Come on, mouth work, you little bastard. Okay, here we go. In yesterday's show, you talked about the sound weapon used. The last time I heard somebody say that to me, I think it was a gym teacher. Okay, hang on. Dear Sean Kennedy, in yesterday's show, you talked about the sound weapon used against protesters by the Israeli troops and said it wouldn't be long before this sort of thing was seen in the U.S. Well, it's already happened. These devices were seen at the Republican National Convention in New York last year. Oh, at the Republican National Convention. She's wondering why the Liberal Convention didn't have that. They weren't used against protesters, but they were deployed, so they had them in case they wanted to use them on the protesters. I see how that works. Keep up the good work, and that one's from Xenofag. Great name. Okay, now, I got a weird bit of prophecy here. Now, normally this isn't the sort of thing that I do on the show, but, you know, hey, it's Friday, what the fuck, right? Okay, you know how... this is from an old army buddy of mine. Sent me this, and this is about Iraq, okay? And just a few interesting points about Iraq. The Garden of Eden was in Iraq. Mesopotamia, which is now Iraq, was the cradle of civilization. Noah built the Ark in Iraq. Tower of Babel was in Iraq. Abraham was from Ur in southern Iraq. Isaac's wife, Rebecca, these are all from the Bible, was in Iraq. Jacob met Rachel in Iraq. Jonah preached in Nineveh, which is in Iraq. Assyria, which is Iraq, is conquered by the 10 tribes of Israel. Amos cried out in Iraq. Babylon, which is Iraq, destroyed Jerusalem. Daniel was in the lion's den in Iraq. Iraq's just, you know, not a really nice place. Three Hebrew children were in the fire in Iraq. Okay, and it goes on about all these other biblical stuff. So I guess everybody there who was in the Bible was in Iraq. You know what I mean? But anyway, you might want to check this out. In the Quran, incidentally, in the 9/11 passage of the Quran, it says here, the 9/11 in the Quran is, for it is written that the son of Arabia would waken a fearsome eagle. The wrath of the eagle would be felt throughout the lands of Allah, and lo, while some of the people trembled in despair, still more rejoiced. For the wrath of the eagle cleansed the lands of Allah, and there was peace. Interesting piece of prophecy there. Sometimes when I see this old school prophecy stuff, it kind of worries me a little bit, you know? I'll sit there and I'll look at it and I'll be like, oh my God! You know, and I'm not to get all Weekly World News on you here, but, you know, sometimes some of this prophecy stuff gets a little bit close to home. Little weird. Dear Sean, being in North America, we tend to hear of dominant religious faiths here. This is true. and their mind-numbing stupidity in relation to their size locally. Being a WOG, I've spent extensive time on the internet and in person studying cults and bad religion. That's a great band, too. The conclusion is that stupidity is transcendent. Universally, each color, creed, religion, and race striving for the ultimate monopoly in stupidity. Strictly speaking on religion, I've seen even as the new ones gain momentum, they are even more fanatical than the big ones as they race for their own version of mindlessness. We don't just hear about these others as much due of their lack of size. That's true. There are a lot of really dangerous religions out there, especially these new cult ones. So I'm sending you a link to remind the WOGs of the danger of religions, corporations, and other such organizations, which there was a link sent in about how a kid who was an infant urinated in a temple because he was a baby and didn't know what the hell was going on, because, you know, babies do that, and they wound up finding the parents because it desecrated their sacred little piece of shit or whatever. And if I may, Sean, I'd like to say to the WOGs of various faiths, please, if Sean reports on the ideology or belief of yours, take it upon yourself to ensure such behavior is kept to a minimum. I'm sure there's good reason to believe in what you do, so keep it good for everyone on this planet so we can all benefit from what you have. Each WOG changing the world one person at a time. Thanks in advance. And that was from Bucky Fuller. Very true. Very true. Now, I could be wrong. This is the clause that a lot of religions don't seem to put into their whole mandate there, is the I could be wrong clause. Now, I could be wrong. You know what I mean? If a big puffy cloud landed in front of me, ba-bing, and out stepped Jesus, bum, ba-da-ba, and he'd be like, hey, I'm Jesus. And I'd be like, can I see some ID here? Because all I got right now is a guy stepping off a cloud. Anybody could say they're Jesus by stepping off of a cloud. But, you know, yeah, I would be asking the Almighty for ID. That would be me. Okay, why? Because, hey, you know, I'm a modern man. I like to think about what's going on. Furthermore, you know, I don't have a Mecca. So in lieu of Mecca, I'd ask for ID. Now, dear Sean, hey, man, just listened to Tuesday's show from the archives. Heard a guy talking about the FCC looking for radio technicians. Remember this? And that they actually need more technicians. The only problem with the licenses they offer is that they're limited to non-broadcast frequencies. Very interesting. I didn't know this. Basically, this means you can only spread information to other bitheads that are probably already aware of what's going on around them. Alas, to do any sort of broadcast in public, regardless of whether the broadcast is commercial or not, you must pay very large sums of money, effectively barring the average citizen from speaking to his or her fellow citizens. Unless, of course, you're me. This is why I had considered an FM broadcast instead of the licensing that was offered by the FCC. I have consequently decided not to do pirate broadcasts and instead try to get more involved with internet radio. The only way a normal citizen can get his or her voice out. Just wanted to bring you to light. I wouldn't want to give you too much credit to the FCC, not where it was due. And that's from Nix. Thank you very much, Nix. It's good to know that we've got people check something like this, and that's great, you know? Because it's not just my news show. Okay, it's your news show. That's why I do this. I mean, everybody's sending me in links all the time. I mean, everybody, it's a community, right? We are an online community, and I would hope that if and when any government organization were to take me down, I'd have somebody step up to the plate until I can get out of the slammer and take back over the show. That's if, of course, I don't run. You know, because personally, I think it's only a matter of time. And to all my law enforcement brethren out there, hey, guys, how y'all doing out there? I hope you don't all decide to arrest me this week. Because, you know, after all, the draconian laws that you are enforcing will eventually include me. I know this. Nothing personal. So if I run, again, nothing personal. Please don't stick the dogs on me because I will kill them. Thanks. Sort yourself out. Okay, you ready for this one here? This is a good one. This is my advice column for the day. Today you were discussing how we should all just toss aside cultural and social differences to solve the world's problems. Yeah, pretty much. Sadly, even though this is a good idea, it's a fucking great idea, this will probably never happen. Probably not. Culture and social differences are quite vast, even between Americans and Canadians to some point. Somebody will always argue with what you want. Since everybody is raised to believe different values and morals, it would take an incredibly powerful and moving leader to freely control such people. I say freely control in the sense that the leader wouldn't control as much as they would let the average citizen do whatever within reason. Anyway, it's a huge topic. I thought I'd throw in my 2 cents worth. By the way, I'm the guy who digitally baptized, blah, blah, blah. And I recently bought The Emperor Wears No Clothes, which you recommended to me some time ago. Excellent fucking book, man. Excellent. On to my problem, which, you know, I'm going to get to it, but I thought this first part of the email was really good. On to my problem, which you have permission to repeat on the air if you have desire to do so. Hooray. Basically, I'm incredibly overweight. That's great. Incredibly overweight. I'm about 400 pounds. Ouch. Under 200 kilograms, roughly. 6 foot six, and have a body that one would consider built for muscle. So you're 6'6". So you're a big motherfucking guy, but you're 400 pounds. So even at 6'6", your ideal weight range, I'm thinking probably about 240, somewhere in there. Unfortunately, it's going to terrible waste. This is his body that's built for muscle because it's currently 400 pounds. I really have to get my ass up and lose some weight before it becomes a serious problem. At 19 years old, I'm still young, but as you may have assumed, I don't get up much action from the ladies. I need to lose weight, basically. I want to know what would be the best way to go about it. If you don't have to go into specific details or anything, but man, my visual impairment, albinism included, may have something to do with my weight. So I guess you're an albino as well. A 400-pound, 6'6 albino. Wow, that's as woggy as you can get. Which may have something to do with my weight. Not that it caused it, but more on a mental level. Okay, well, that could be it. On a mental level, I would say that you probably feel ostracized and individualized, you know, because you're an albino and you're big and you're overweight. So naturally, you don't feel like you fit in too much. So what's the solution here? First of all, you have to accept the fact that you are, in fact, an individual. This is true for everyone. I'm an individual. Everyone is an individual. You are born alone. You will die alone. Even if you die in a huge room full of other protesters getting gassed by the Republicans, you will still die alone. So what you need to do, first of all, fad diets do not work. What you need to do is, right off the top, whatever you're drinking right now, whatever you drink, stop drinking that and drink only water, okay? If you're 400 pounds and you start to just drink water, seriously, no more pop, no more whatever, don't whine, just drink water. That and drink a lot of it. That will probably, the weight will start to fly off. Then you will get up in the morning before you eat, okay? And you will go for a walk. I don't care what the lap is. I do not care how long the lap is, if it's just around the block, whatever. If you get up in the morning and go for a walk before you eat, you can have a glass of water, that's allowed, but before you eat, you burn 500% more fat than if you had eaten first, i.e., meaning that if you get up in the morning and you go for a walk around the block, you will have done the equivalency of walking 5 blocks if you've done it after you've eaten. That was from a book I read called The Body for Life book, which is actually an outstanding book. Anyone who wants to get into hardcore bodybuilding, don't get into all this. He's trying to sell Myoplex, which is this weight supplement thing. Don't bother getting into that. But the actual workout routines and stuff in that book is really, really switched on. Very, very cool. Something to look at. So you want to make sure you get enough of your essential fatty acids. You know, you got to make sure that you and just start eating healthy. You know, like, don't eat processed food. Eat fresh food. You know, make your own food. And go for walks in the morning. If you do just those two steps, drink only water and go for a walk around the block every morning, man, the weight will fly off. I guarantee it. You'll see results within 30 days. Promise you. On to the news. You ready for this one? Desert Runner found some. You ready for this one? UK Gattaca State news. Yay! I got an email from Buddy who was mad at me about the Gattaca State thing. He was all apologetic. And I'm like, no, man, come on. If I was really mad at anybody, I wouldn't put it on the show. You know, everybody, I'm always talking about people getting along. You know, I ain't going to the IRC and everybody's fighting with everybody. We need to stop that shit. We do. We're all on the same side. If you're mad at somebody, go get mad at a rally or a protest or something like that. If you want to go out and get all angry, don't take it out on your brother, man. You can't do that. Because we're all one big digital family here, and if they get us to turn against each other, man, we're really fucked, okay? A house divided cannot stand. Well, if you divide a house, you know, 750,000 times, guaranteed you're not going to achieve anything productive. This is why, you know, cult failed. This is why the WOG Coalition ran into some problems there. It's because everybody wants to do their own thing. Nobody sees the greater cause and the greater purpose, and that's what we need to do. Granted, this is the same line that the Republicans throw out to try to achieve, you know, the American dream and all that kind of shit. But the reason why they do that is because that shit works. Okay? All the best lies are mostly true. So the truth is, if we can just get over our own shit and deal with that on a private level between individuals and not put it into a public forum, it would be much, much better. So come on, guys. Can't we all just get along? Desert Runner found some UK Gattaca State news. You ready for this one? Plans to ban the manufacturer, import and sale of most kinds of replica guns. Replica guns have been outlined by the government. The measures are included in the Violent Crimes Reduction Bill. The bill proposes an increase to the age limit for buying knives from 16 to 18. Because that'll make a difference. And search powers for head teachers who suspect they're being carried. You there! You, I think you have a knife. Metropolitan Police Commissioner Sir Ian Blair backed the move as very sensible, but called for new powers allowing licenses to search customers. customers. Good God. The bill applies to England and Wales, with the premises provision also applying in Scotland. Binge drinking related disorder will also be addressed in the bill, and with proposed plans as such as suspending alcohol sales in bars that persistently sell to minors. The proposals are part of the government's attempt to restore respect in communities, town centers, schools, which it says is among its top priorities. Well, you know, I don't really think I am a big fan of the government legislating respect. Home Office Minister Hazel Blear said, "This is an increasing public concern and around relatively low-level crime and antisocial behavior, escalating to more serious offenses because people are under the influence of alcohol and or carrying weapons." So somehow they brought knives and alcohol together. I don't know how they did that, but I guess they did that here. Now, semicolon superhero sent brought us some night vision update. You remember when I was talking about down in Washington, they were using IR Nautilus gear? Okay, they still haven't actually, they still haven't explained that it was thermal gear that they were using, but they stopped using it. Maryland State Police will not be using night vision equipment to spy on motorists to see if they're wearing seatbelts. Oh, good. Reacting quickly to complaints, Governor Robert Elrich on Monday directed the state police to discontinue testing of the effectiveness of the equipment. Oh, now it was testing. Oh, I see. It's just a test. We were only testing it. Governor Itchen said isn't a fan of Big Brother tactics when it comes to law enforcement. That's the very reason why he vetoed speed cameras, said Chersey Delore, a spokesman for Ehrlich, whatever his name is. The governor felt there is an appropriate time and place for the use of night vision equipment. Let's try it night. However, he did not feel the seatbelt enforcement rose to that level, DeLever said. Borrowed from the military, the equipment was used only during a three-hour test in Rockville area of Montgomery County Wednesday night. The equipment has already been returned, Greg Shipley, spokesman for the state police, said. It was simply a test. The local commander was looking for different ways to enforce the seatbelt law through nighttime enforcement could be enhanced and thought nighttime enforcement could be enhanced this way. Well, isn't it interesting that nobody's saying that it was actually thermal gear? They're all saying it's night vision. It's not, well, that's a type of night vision gear. And it goes on to the article to say this was a single monocular thing, not the battle vision goggles that you imagine. You know, this wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't night vision goggles like that. Totally exploiting the public's ignorance of night vision technology. And this is why Newsreel exists. You know, thanks to the complaints from people, they stopped doing it. But don't you worry, they'll be back with that technology again. Oh, yes. Yes, they will. And in Mindshare news, you ready for this one? Parents in Taixiang, Jiangsu province, and this is in China, are angry that their children have become mobile advertisements for a local company by carrying the firm's logo on the back of their school uniforms. Are you getting this, Sim? School children's uniforms with logos on the back. According to Modern Express, a newspaper based in Nanjing, some parents have complained that Taixiang Sanfran Clothing Factory, a manufacturer of school uniforms, printed its company logo on the back of uniforms for local primary and middle schools. The logo is 28 centimeters long and 9 centimeters wide, a trademark that reads Sanfran in big English capital letters. So it's like huge. A uniform should show the school's culture and spirit. Why not print the school's name or some encouraging words instead of such a glaring advertisement, said a parent called Ching Xiesu, whose son is a first-year student at a local primary school. That's what the parent is called. The parent is called Ching Xiesu. It seemed that the school uniform maker is able to have free advertising, he added. However, most schools in the city seem not to care about their trademark of their uniforms. The manufacturing of school uniforms is supervised by the Taixiang Education Commission. I think they agreed to let the clothing factory print its trade name on the clothes, said a primary school teacher who refused to reveal her name. Only four schools print their name instead of the trademark on the clothes. Four schools, which means that the schools that print their name instead of the trademark, they have to pay more. So they get a break on the trademark. They get a break on their clothing purchases if they allow the trademark on the back. And if you think that's only the start, you can bank that the company making those uniforms is going to be selling advertising space. Oh, yes. Yes, especially after this news story is run, there'll be lots of advertising space to be had on the backs of our children. Good, 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 good. You know, because honestly, since it's in the textbooks, let's put it on their clothes. I mean, can you really think of somewhere that they haven't put advertising yet? I mean, they say they're not going to put it in space, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Now, Dead Kong. Dead Kong? That's a good name, though. Dead Code brought us some West Toxication news. Now, that's a word from this particular news story here. Switch on your satellite television receiver in Tehran nowadays, and something is amiss. No signal. The otherwise fuzzy television screen says... That's what the actual message on the TV says during much of the day and the night. With the presidential elections over a week away, Islamic Iran's technological guardians appear to be waging war against the enemies in the airwaves, opposition-run television channels. So you've got these Islamo-fascists broadcasting jabbing frequencies. The problem is, however, they may also be frying people's brains. Not only are they using their Islamic mudhood religion to fry people's brains, now they're using microwave technology. Microwaves, explained an Iranian satellite television technician who earns his keep by installing dishes even though they are technically banned. They're jamming, and these signals used to block the satellites have never been so strong, said the dishman, for obvious reasons, preferred not to be named. Attaboy. You know, that's a pretty noble thing to do. You know, be installing satellite dishes onto houses and stuff like that in a society. I mean, that guy's pretty cool. Since Islamic Revolution 26 years ago, the regime has been fighting off what it calls West Toxication. This is where, you know, we take Western ideas like education and nudity and, you know, all these horrible things, you know, the music and stuff, you know, that's just horrible infections, you know. But in recent years, satellite dishes have mushroomed across the rooftops of sprawling, smog-ridden capital. Police and militiamen launch occasional crackdowns, but are losing the battle. So instead, they appear to be throwing out noise, blocking out 20 or so opposition channels, and their mix of heretical anti-regime chatter and saucy Persian pop videos. Ooh, saucy Persian pop. Yes, yes, we wouldn't want anyone complaining. Day and night, the opposition radio and television stations keep calling our people to boycott the election, fumed Ayatollah Mohammad Ernemi Karshai, a top cleric, in his Friday prayer sermon last week. Eager to prevent a boycott of the polls, therefore more questions being raised about how the ruling clergy mix Islam and democracy, the jamming efforts appears to be unprecedented. Now, not that I am thinking that, you know, there is a few details about televisions and about television signals that cannot be denied. For example, in Canada, there's been lots of small communities, especially small, you know, communities that are kind of shut off from everywhere else that didn't have satellite TV or cable TV. And once you put in the TVs, the crime rate in these areas of town went through the roof. You know, you got a lot of alcohol and drug abuse. A lot of crazy shit got beamed into these towns, and the people started emulating what they saw on TV. Now, what's the solution here? Well, I guess the solution here is education, because you have to have education to go with entertainment. Otherwise, you wind up with this exact problem. These are the growing bains of the human race. It is horrible and nasty and unfortunate, but I do not think it can be avoided. So rather than trying to stonewall and nuking your people with dangerous amounts of microwaves in the air, and maybe you should try education as, you know, something to maybe consider as an alternative. I don't know, just a thought. And Thunder Spud encrypted some SeaTac astronomy news for me. A White House official who once led the oil industry's fight against limits on greenhouse gases has repeatedly edited government climate reports in ways that play down links between such emissions and global warming, according to internal documents. So what they're saying here is a White House official is lying to the public regarding greenhouse gases. In handwritten notes on drafts of several reports issued in 2002 and 2003, the official, a scumbag named Philip A. Cooney, removed or adjusted descriptions of climate research that government scientists and their supervisors, including some senior Bush administration officials, had already approved. In many cases, the changes appeared in the final reports. The dozens of changes, with sometimes as subtle as the insertion of the phrase significant and fundamental beside the word uncertainties. So significant and fundamental uncertainties rather than uncertainties tend to produce an air of doubt about findings that most climate experts say are robust. Mr. Cooney is chief of staff for the White House Council of Environmental Quality. Shouldn't he be for the environment? The office that helps devise and promote administration policies on environmental issues. What a scumbag piece of shit. Before going to the White House in 2001, he was the climate team leader and lobbyist at the American Petroleum Institute, the largest trade group representing the interests of the oil industry. A lawyer with a bachelor's degree in economics. He has no scientific training. You fucking piece of shit. You piece of shit. I cannot believe that, you know, like, what are you doing? Are you a family man? Are you a family? Do you got kids? Of course, you probably don't care because, you know, you got money, right? So who gives a fuck about the rest of the world? That's totally, you know, this Ann, that was the name of that skinny blonde bitch who I saw the other day. Ann Coulter is her name. What a cow. Unbelievable cow. Like, you look at this and you go, wow. You know, I suppose there's a certain Zen focus to being like, us first and fuck everyone else. I suppose there's a certain, you know, accomplishment to that, I suppose you could say. I mean, you get your shit done, right? But it seems to me that nobody's really thinking about the big picture here. Nobody's really thinking about what this is going to mean in the long term. And it's frustrating. You know, I guess you wonder why some people start getting violent about stuff like this. And it's pretty apparent that that's the only way that people seem to even listen. And they don't even listen then. They just, you know, get more laws up to make protesters look like terrorists. When it's quite clear that, well, the Republicans are destroying the planet. I mean, you can't really go wrong from that, you know. I mean, what do you say against that? Now, Wolf Inspector found some street news. This is a weird piece of news here. You ready for this one here? In Star Wars Galaxies. Now, this is that multi-online game thing. Okay, ready for this one? Star Wars Galaxies. Performers can play set pieces on a variety of interesting-looking instruments. But its set pieces are nothing. Pretty repetitive, although familiar and comforting. Now, these set pieces mean that in the game, there's these musical instruments you can get at in these cantinas. Okay? But the thing is, rather than compose your own music to play in cantinas, to play online in this virtual world, you're only allowed to play set little pieces, so you make a selection, and then you can play that. You know what I mean? Long have the residents of the universe wanted the ability to play their own music. Imagine the cacophony. Imagine the events. Cantina Crawl is already a live traveling performance troupe. There are stages and bars littered across the universe, mostly empty, begging for some homegrown celebrities. The ability for players to create and perform their own music in-game would be nothing short of spectacular. Most of it would be rubbish. Some of it would be heart-liftingly fabulous. Watching a player perform their own music would be intensely more compelling than watching someone's macroing set piece three, like the advert break on TV. Healing in a cantina while watching these set pieces repeatedly is a player's opportunity to go stretch their legs and make a cuppa. Unfortunately, though, the will on Star Wars Galaxies is not there. If we allowed someone to play anything they want, they could play a song by Madonna, and then we'd have licensing issues, said Julio Torres, producer for Star Wars Galaxies at LucasArts. We don't want to give them the option to try, because the bottom line is, if we open the gate, they will go through it, he said. I see. So best to keep all your people locked down in their little crazy street games. You know, that's what you got to do. That's what makes me sick. That's the one reason why I haven't really pushed any online games, because they're all owned, and they're all owned by core politicals, and it's kind of sick and weird, but there it is. And that's what I think is limiting the virtual reality from Cyberpunk fame, is the fact that we haven't really had a big push behind something as that, you know, would just really be sexy and magical that isn't owned by the core politicals. That's my own personal view on that. Now, in the Bacto electricity news, and this is from Dead Code, very, very cool. Some pollution-eating bacteria, commonly found in freshwater ponds, can generate electricity. Scientists reported Tuesday at a meeting for the American Society for Microbiology. Very, very cool. Presenting their findings in Atlanta, the researchers said bacteria are capable of continuously generating electricity at levels that could be used to operate small electronic devices. As long as the bacteria are being fed fuel, they're able to produce electricity 24 hours a day, according to Charles Milken, a medical university of South Carolina, who led the research. The use of bacteria to create electricity is not necessarily a new idea. Other researchers have developed microbial fuel cells that use simple sugars or organic waste products. My car runs on shit! What makes Milken's discovery so unique is the bacterium itself. It's a member of a genus known as, here we go, Desulfitobacterium, which up until now was not known to have the capacity to generate electricity. Very, very cool. I'm happy when I see stuff like that, you know? It kind of makes me just feel a little bit more positive about the future when I see more and more ways that we can be generating power. Because with power, there's not a lot you cannot do. But until we can start getting a handle on this whole greenhouse gases thing, like, you will either stop doing the greenhouse gases thing or the planet will stop you from doing the greenhouse gases thing. And that's a bit of a concern for a guy like me, you know? Now, more in street news from Foulware. You ready for this one? More gamers are taking disputes over virtual property to a court. A Shanghai online gamer has been given a suspended death sentence for killing a fellow gamer. Now, this was that guy who stabbed the other dude because he sold his virtual sword for 473 pounds. And the guy's name was Kui Changwei, stabbed Zhu Kaiyan in the chest when he found out he sold his virtual sword for 473 pounds, which would be like about $800. Mind you, if I was playing an online game and some guy sold all my shit, I'd be pretty pissed off too. I don't know if I'd stab him to death, but you know, I'd be pretty torqued. The sword, which Mr. Kui had lent to Mr. Zhu, was won in the popular online game Legends of Mirror 3. Attempts to take the dispute to the police failed because there is currently no law in China to protect virtual property. Appealing the plea, buying and selling gaming artifacts such as imaginary weapons is a booming business on the web. The internet games section of eBay saw more than $9 million in trades in 2003. Oh my God, what a huge industry that is. I had no idea it was that big. While China has no laws to deal with theft of virtual property, you ready for this one here? South Korea has a section of its police force that investigates in-game crime. Now, if that's not net police, I don't know what the fuck is. That's cyber police. That's online cops right there. You know, that's about as cyberpunk as you could possibly get. So South Korea, who seems to be leading the whole cyberpunk thing right now with their stem cell banks and everything else they got going on, it seems to me that they're also leading the world in ideas regarding this whole, metro cops, cybercrime. Interesting stuff. Now, Lensman saw some booster news. Now, I always report on weed in the news. This is something I do because I think it is a very going concern for a lot of people. A lot of people downplay it. A lot of people are interested in this news who don't say they're interested in this news, if you know what I'm saying. Lensman saw some booster news and forwarded it on to me. The Supreme Court handed a major defeat to state medical marijuana laws this week. Now, I've talked about this before. This is one where the Supreme Court said that federally, you know, we don't care if a doctor says you can smoke weed. If you smoke weed, you're going to fucking jail. Three strikes, you're out. And don't forget, Japan still started, they started advertising for prison labor. So only a matter of time before America starts doing this. If they're not already doing it, like Dell Computers was. The Supreme Court handed that major defeat down. The Supreme Court handed a major defeat to state medical marijuana laws this week, but pro-pot advocates said a little-noticed lawsuit wending its way through the courts might yet make legal pot a reality. Very interesting. The suit hinges on a Food and Drug Administration regulation that says the agency can't approve marijuana or any other substance as a medicine unless research shows it's safe. Now, that's ridiculous. Okay, first of all, there has never, ever, ever been a pot-related death. Ever. It does not happen. Okay, no, actually, you know what? I should preface that. There has been spiked weed that has killed people. And there have been people who have died while doing dumb things on weed. Like, I drove a car and got hit by another car on weed. That has happened. But no one has smoked weed and died from an allergic reaction. No one has, like, it doesn't happen. There is no toxic level of the drug. You could smoke, like, a bushel of the shit and you still wouldn't die. You'd be puking pretty hard. It'd be a bad day of the pasties tomorrow, but you wouldn't die. But the government, which controls the only legal crop in the country, won't give scientists any marijuana to test, according to researchers who want to perform safety studies. Now, isn't this bizarre? Well, nobody wants to have the... No, you can't test the weed, because we know that it's going to cut the guts out of the pharmaceutical industry. We know that. The impasse led to a lawsuit in July 2004, pitting the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, or MAPS. Now, these guys are fucking rad. Against the Drug Enforcement Agency, as well as the Department of Health and Human Services. MAPS is a fucking sexy organization, okay? And the enemies, the good guys, are MAPS. The bad guys, Department of Health and Human Services and the National Institute of Drug Abuse, or NIDA, for obstructing medical marijuana research. So not only are they saying it's a drug. Not only are they saying you're going to go to fucking jail if you're using it, they're not letting any studies take place to prove that it's actually a medicine. Not happening. Now, this is terrifying to me, where you've got something that is a weed which grows naturally across your entire nation. You have to go through huge efforts to stop the shit from sprouting up. And yet, now, with the advent of all these mass depression out there, all these people who are slowly going insane everywhere, no one wants to, you know, look at the obvious. Instead, they would choose, you know, to make the money with the Pharmacom guys. God, that pisses me off. The energy in the illegal arena is now going to shift to our effort to break the monopoly on supply. You see how this works, says Rick Doblin, founder and president of MAPS. Now that law enforcement can go after high-profile targets, the only safety for patients is going to have it available through the FDA. NIDA refused to comment on the lawsuit because the agency addresses abuses of marijuana rather than its medical use, a spokeswoman said. But since the agency is the gatekeeper to the only legal source of the drug from a small farm at the University of Mississippi, researchers who want to study the drug's medicinal qualities have no choice but to query NIDA. Now, the interesting thing about this is that if you go and get some of this weed that they're testing, any weed that they test to say whether or not it's medically sound or blah, 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 does it do anything, it's going to come from this one farm. Now, do you have any idea how many fucking strains of marijuana there are? Do you have any concept of it? Okay, there's books and books and books and books of hybrid strains of weed, okay? It all breaks down to two basic types. You got your indica and you got your sativa, okay? Now, I can't remember which one it is. I'm not going to speculate because I don't want to give away too much. But there's two basic strains, indica and sativa. And beyond that, there's different plants and they give them different names. This is where you hear about things like Alaska Muskin Thunderfuck, and you've got like, you know, Thai Stick and Maui Wowie and all these online names. These are the names of the different hybrids. Books like the Canna Bible and stuff like that, they go through all these hybrids and what the different effects are. So it's effectively like, after fashion, emotional programming. Now, personally, I don't believe in smoking weed. Personally, I believe in vaporizing weed. Hippies smoke weed, wogs vaporize. Why? Because there's a lot of substances. When you burn a plant, okay, you're getting a lot of toxins into your body. And if you do the research and check on it, vaporizers are the way to go instead of smoking it. I don't think anybody should smoke weed. I really mean it. First of all, you waste too much of it. You know, you see these fucking idiots all the time hotboxing cars. They open up the doors and all this perfectly good, you know, chemical goes spilling out into the atmosphere, offending people, makes you look like a fucking moron. I don't know why people do that, but they do it. I guess it's because it's fun or whatever. Personally, if I was going to choose to put something like this into my body, I would only use a vaporizer. That's just me, though. Now, some people are different. Some people have different viewpoints. But when you look at the data, when you look at the hard science, it cannot be denied how much better vaporizers are than. So I don't want anybody ever saying that I encourage kids to smoke pot. That is not the truth. Vaporizing pot, that's only for adults. No kids should be doing it. That's my own personal stance. Now, Nalo Surith sent in some new media news that was very, very cool. I like it very much. So check this out. After the fight between HD, this is high-definition DVD, and Blu-ray for the next-generation DVD standard. Now, this is the new-gen DVD. As we all remember, there was CDRs, and there was all the standards that were going with CDRs, and they're trying to get a standard down. Well, I guess Toshiba seems to have said, fuck this, we're dropping the gloves, because they've decided to stop negotiating. Hitachi, Maxwell, and a unit of Mitsubishi Chemicals have announced that they will launch an HD DVD recordable disc due in 2006. That's a 15-gig burnable disc, a format developed by Toshiba's group. This is just the next step in a battle between Toshiba and Sony. Personally, although I am using a Sony laptop right now, I would kind of hope Toshiba gets this because Sony has some scary proprietary stuff on the go. As Sony recently announced that their PlayStation 3 would be based on the Blu-ray disc technology. Ah, I see what it is. I see what's going on. Hitachi Maxwell and Mitsubishi Kagaku Media announced that they plan to introduce the product in the first half of next year, just in time for the scheduled launch of Toshiba's HD DVD recorder. This step may seem premature since the standard has not yet been reached, but the holy grail in this area is availability of technology to consumers. And once they start burning them, boy, they put an HD DVD burner out there, well, that's a pretty good strategy because people will be teeming towards that stuff. 15 gigs on one disc, you can fucking write. Following that announcement of the new HD DVD discs, Sony said that their Blu-ray discs and recorders could be available as early as fourth quarter 2005. So the race is on. Now, what we need to figure out here is we have to monitor what is actually better. Like, we have to look at the Blu-ray, and we got to look at HD DVD, and I'm expecting to get some detailed reports from people out there who have this tech. If you don't have the tech, I don't want to hear from you, okay? Unless, well, you can link me some good reviews, but I'm a little bit leery. Make sure they're not coming from no corporate sponsorships. We want to find out which one is actually better, because I promise you, one of them probably is. Now, we got some nanotech news here. Now, generally, this is a little bit vaporish, but nanotech is, you know, one of the next major big things. I don't think it's going to be as big as robotics. You know, funny that. I think that if nanotech is going to be the surge after robotics, so I think robotics will be a bigger surge before nanotech is. But anyway, that's just my personal viewpoint. What do I know? In nanotech, HP Hewlett-Packard today claimed that they have developed a groundbreaking design for designing next-generation nanoelectric circuits that can deliver near-perfect manufacturer yields with equipment 1,000 times less expensive than currently available. Now, that's hot. We're getting close to, like, desktop manufacturing here. Researchers from the firm explains that its technique centers on the use of coding theory as an approach currently being used in existing mathematical, cryptographic, and telecoms applications. And this gets a little bit techie here, so I'm hoping all the deckers out there will be able to keep up with this one. HP Labs authors Phil Kooks, Warren Robinette, Gadriel Sarosi, and Stan Williams explains that the new Deflect Torrent Designs refines HP's patented crossbar nanochip architecture. Now, whether or not that patented crossbar nanochip architecture is where the fuck bears to be seen, but we will soon see. Williams believes that future chips will have to rely, at least in part, on the crossbar architecture, which sets of parallel nanoscale wires that are laid on top of another set of parallel wires at an appropriate 90-degree angle, sandwiching a layer of electronically switchable material. When the material becomes trapped between the crossing wires, it can form a switch that represents a 1 or a 0, the basic building blocks of all computer code. We have invented a completely new way of designing an electronical internet connection for nanoscale circuits using coding theory, using coding theory, which is commonly used in today's digital cell phone systems and deep space probes, says Williams, HP senior fellow and director of quantum science research at HP Labs. So you know he's done. By using a crossbar architecture and adding 50% more wires as an insurance policy, we believe it will be possible to fabricate nanoelectric circuits with nearly perfect yields, even though the probability of broken components will be high. According to the researchers, future chips may be limited in their geometric complexity that can be created on nano level because of the problems with precision alignment. Now, when you're dealing with the nanoscale thing, things get a little bit bizarre. So I can understand how, you know, they're going to be having some problems with this. And this is all, you know, very, 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 very beta. Okay, it's not even really beta yet. But very, very hot. And when you see nanotech get applied to robotics, that's when we're really going to see the good NS5 iRobot kind of stuff going on there. That's the shit that is just really sexy. Now, you heard about the other day, I was talking about how Israel had that huge shadow run going on where those guys had, like, industrial espionage and all this happening. Well, this reads like something out of, you know, a serious shadow run or cyberpunk game. But you ready for this story? This is what's in the news. This looks like a gaming prop. Okay, in Shadowrun news, Yitzhak Rath, this is the CEO of Modin Ezrai. It's a private investigation firm, a Shadowrun firm by its very definition. This guy was arrested 2 weeks ago in connection with the Trojan horse virus industrial espionage affair. Now, I wrote it on that. But apparently, this guy fell over the second floor railing in the stairwell at the Har Yarkon police station in Tel Aviv on Wednesday. So while he was at the police station, he fell over the second story railing. Rath was hospitalized in the Ichkalov Hospital in Tel Aviv in serious and unstable condition. So this CEO of a private investigations firm jumped off the second floor of a building to kill himself. Now, being as he's a CEO of a private investigation firm, would he suppose that if he wanted to kill himself, he could find a better way to do it than, say, hucking his body off of the second floor of a police station? I suspect something is amiss here. Deputy Tel Aviv Police Chief Lieutenant Commander Dan Hen appointed a senior officer to investigate the incident. Oh, that's interesting. Police said that while it appeared Rath, following an interrogation session with FOD squad investigators, jumped out of the window to commit suicide, other possibilities were also being investigated. So just after interrogation, or maybe during interrogation, he decided to jump out of a window. What? Wait a minute. Hang on here. Fell over a second floor railing at the stairwell. And the other one here, it says he jumped out of a window. It's in the same article. One line, it says he jumped over. Well, what did he do? Did they get their story straight or what? Rath was arrested 2 weeks ago on suspicion for his private investigation firm after... Oh, pardon me. Rath was arrested 2 weeks ago on suspicion his private investigation firm planted a Trojan horse virus inside the computers of its client's competitors to steal classified commercial information. So, to answer this, they seems to me that they must have tried to kill him. That would be my guess on this particular front. I mean, you know, what do I know, though? Let's get into today's Daily Hacks. I got three of them here for you, and they're good ones. TiVo tweaks from Ascarta. If you own a TiVo digital recorder, you know the magic appliance can change the way you watch TV. But with a little work, your TiVo is doing much. It's capable of doing much more. With several innocent gimmicks, you can make your TiVo even slicker. So check that out. And I'm sure there's lots of other TiVo hacks you can get out there, too. And we got some black ice, which I have since put on my live journal, called spam poison. These links will redirect email harvesting bots to trap sites that will feed it with almost an infinite loop of dynamically generated fake email addresses, most commonly known spammer-owned domains. Excellent. It will render their harvest list practically useless and of no commercial value. So this is a method that all of us can use by putting these little tabs up to poison these spam bots that are going around and gathering all this information off of websites. Very, very cool. I might put this as a permanent addition to my live journal. Maybe you should consider doing the same. Because after all, who really likes spam? And last but not least, we have a guide to closed-circuit television CCTV camera destruction from IonTop. Thank you very much. So if ever you want to know how to take out video cameras, well, there's your link on how to do it. It's very comprehensive. Please check it out, especially for all of you in the UK Gattaca State. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, Sim and I will be back on Monday to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis. And they are Forley, Alan, Drew, Dwight, Simaru, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Weblife, Philip, Perdon, Robert, Jesse, Andrew, Michael, and user Christopher Noob, Derek, Joseph, Jesse, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Brandon, Jason, Matthew, Mainframe, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Matt, Evan, Austin, David, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Charles, Philip, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Host Mojo, Matt, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dart Nature, and Brandon. Thank you so much. And new subscribers this month, people who showed up, the Cavalry, Ed, Jennifer Palmer, Art, Kevin, Michael, Dennis, Jesse, Matthew, and Jason. Thank you very much, guys. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Every little bit helps. Digital baptisms today. Crank, come get it, is now known as Crossboxer. Very, very cool. Upcoming events. Hey, Saturday. This Saturday, June 11th, 2005, at 3 p.m. at the Vancouver Art Gallery in BC, Canada, yours truly will be hanging out with everybody else from Rant for the local Rant Meet. Make sure you come down there. It should be a good time. Even if it's raining, I don't care, because we're going to be going to the night market in Chinatown, which hopefully they won't get all pussy and pack it all up last time, because when it was raining last time, they packed up the night market, and that was really, really, you know, that was just, I hated it. It was stupid. But, you know, really, I think walking through a night market in the rain is very Blade Runner. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I feel. And I think it's a pretty odd thing to do. So if you happen to be in the neighborhood and you want something to do on a Saturday, come on up. 3 p.m., Vancouver Art Gallery in BC, Canada. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of their pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to check out the album by Frontline Assembly called Hardwires. Good guy, Frontline. They were on my show with the TV show. Nice, nice people. So check out their album, Hardwired. Good local boys here. I'm going to leave you now with a track mixed for me specifically by Desert Runner. And it's a track that he mixed out of the show, out of Newsreel, and he called the track Newsreel, which I think is really great. It's a short little mix thing. First one he's done. I think the kid's got real talent. He should keep it up. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
And now for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet. Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck?
And now for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet.
But that makes me a foreign terrorist. I'm a Canadian terrorist. Now I'm broadcasting corruptible information to the youth of America. You know, distributing harmful matter to minors. Let's not forget that one, too.
My name's Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man. My name's Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man.
But that makes me a foreign terrorist. I'm a Canadian terrorist. Now I'm broadcasting corruptible information to the youth of America. You know, distributing harmful matter to minors. Let's not forget that one, too.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy.
My name is Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man. My name is Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man.
Perfect. But that makes me a foreign terrorist. I'm a Canadian terrorist. Now I'm broadcasting corruptible information to the youth of America. You know, distributing harmful matter to minors. Let's not forget that one, too.
Help us on this one, because that seems to be the last place where we can get some real information, real education, without it being run through a number of people with censors first.
Perfect. But that makes me a foreign terrorist. I'm a Canadian terrorist. Now I'm broadcasting corruptible information to the youth of America. You know, distributing harmful matter to minors. Let's not forget that one, too.
My name is Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man. My name is Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man.